With As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington. You might hear it in my voice. I'm a little bit under the weather. I'm still been inundated by this just incredible chemtrail. You might say attack on the entire planet, but I've never seen so many chemtrails. I'm getting calls from all over the planet right now, basically. I mean, it's insane. Canada is getting hit really hard. The West Coast is hit real hard. Even Washington, D.C., I got reports there. They're getting hit really hard, and they're all have got this crazy hack and this cough and something stuck in their throat. And you know, not to get too graphic, but I've been really looking up the symptoms here and what's going on and a lot of the orange mucus that's forming and things like that. And it's mimicking all the symptoms of what they're spraying up there. So, you know, when you don't go anywhere and you're just working, you're not really meeting anybody and you're working on by yourself and you come down with the same thing everybody else is coming down, I kind of wonder, you know, maybe this isn't a basic flu. Maybe it might be something else. But I would really start looking into that. You know, check out William Thomas or Clifford Carnicom and see what's going on in your skies, because there's a brand new movie coming out called Toxic Skies. Check it out, and don't miss this one, because they really lay it on the line and talk about what's going on. Somebody sent me an email and said, you know, how about solutions? You know, do you have any solutions? And, you know, we can't give out advice. You know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not an MD. So I can't really give out advice, but I can tell you what I do, you know, and we'll go from there. But I've been using that Miracle Mineral formula. It's MMS. You can just type MMS, and I'm sure it'll pop up. And it's pretty amazing stuff. It seems to knock out a lot of stuff. And some people called in and told me to use some couple of small teaspoons of peroxide in a big glass of water. So I can't really recommend that one, but a lot of people are talking about that. But talk to your naturopath and find out what kills funguses and molds and mycoplasms, and see what you can do to get your system beefed up, your immune system. And I know there's a huge survey that went out, a major study went out to find out what was the best thing they could use to knock down a combination of any viruses or bacteria, even parasites. They were trying to come up with the best here and for all this, and did a major study on it. And lo and behold, they found out that salt water and vitamin C was the best thing you could use. It beat out every other product out there, and even all the pharmaceuticals. So I thought that was quite interesting, just salt water and vitamin C. You know, and we know what happens when you throw salt on a slug or a snail. So I'm sure the parasites don't like it, and it seems to break down the wall of any viruses or bacteria, and between the vitamin C and the salt water. So do some research on that. See what it says. You know, charcoal, and you know, some people. When I was in Mexico, I took some charcoal, and that really helped. That knocked down some of the things going on. I've been seeing some real interesting things going on in these reports with Filer's Files, and go to filersfiles.com, and or just type in Filer's Files, and you can read about that. But there's some major activity going on here. I was looking at a report that Ronald Reagan actually saw a UFO, and he went up and he ordered his pilot to chase it. And so that just came out and was released. So now we have another president, you know, Jimmy Carter and a few others then in the past that have had these UFO encounters, not to mention the major astronauts that are all coming forward now and the major NASA people. So it's all starting to spill the beans. So, you know, basically I kind of wonder why, you know, NASA and SETI and these other guys are continuing this fiasco that the UFOs, they haven't seen anything, they don't know it's out there, and they're still searching, you know, spending billions of dollars looking for unidentified flying objects out in the universe when they're here, you know. They've been here for thousands of years, and they've always been here, and they're still here. But we're doing this illusionary program here of going out and looking for them, you know. So as long as everybody thinks, you know, somebody's out there looking for them, they won't go out and look for themselves now, will they? And that's just the thing. We need to do our own research. We need to start watching the skies. If you want to get into this and find out what's going on, you know, go out and invest in some night vision goggles or some, there's an iGen out there that you can get that has night vision to it, or, you know, just go out there with your naked eye on a clear sky and see if there's anything moving around that might not want to be there. A good way to check things out, too, is to go to, there's a site called J-Tracker, and there's another easier site called Heavens Above. And it'll tell you the satellites over your area, the visible satellites. And a lot of times there's only like one or two or three. And if you go out like last night, we were out there last night, and I stopped counting at 26. And I was out there for another hour, and I think it got into the 50s, and some very large objects flying around up there. And we did film them. We have them on film, so we have all that. And, you know, it's just amazing. These things are huge, you know, and they're smaller ones, and they're zipping all over the place, and they're wiggling back and forth and side-flipping and doing all kinds of things. And we're sitting here watching this going, what is wrong with this picture, you know, with a lot of guests, which we're going to go out to the field and see who we can get to talk about some of the events. There are some people that are still here that were here last night that got to see a lot of the events. I don't know if we're going to have too much going on tonight. We might. It's a little overcast right now, so it's harder to see the sky, and it's not very dark yet. So, but who knows? We'll be going out to the field here pretty soon. But I'm looking at Filer's Files report here, and they're saying, you know, unidentified aerial phenomenon were spotted over Alabama, Arizona, California, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Texas, Virginia, and Washington. Oh, what do you know? Washington State has UFOs flying over. And they've got, they're also seen in Australia, Canada, Ireland, Jamaica, Netherlands, Panama, Philippines. They got some really good photos of the ones in the Philippines recently. And the UK is having some incredible footage coming out of the UK right now. It's just amazing. And Northern Ireland as well. So basically, it's a worldwide event. It's ongoing, but for some reason, these poor folks at SETI just can't get their little antennas on them. You know, it's maybe they should just like open the door and walk outside and start looking around, or, you know, get outside their little cubicle, and you might be able to see a ship and have an experience. It's amazing. I keep seeing Seth Shustak come on Coast to Coast again and again and saying there's no evidence whatsoever that UFOs are here, or they've ever been here, and it's just amazing to hear this guy give his spiel and be supported in giving that spiel. So I've seen nothing but a lot of debunkers and a lot of military boys, ex-military, and they're really pushing this negative agenda, you know, that there's a massive war going on, and they seem to forget that the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. So, you know, basically, you know, you're looking for war and you're looking for the negative and you're in, you have a fearful consciousness, that's going to frame your experience. And if you're looking for the higher beings, the more benevolent beings, that's going to happen as well. So basically that's, you know, it's whatever you're focusing on, you're going to draw to. You're going to magnetize people and events to you. And basically with the consciousness here and the leadership here, and I can't really blame the benevolent ones for not really coming, you know. It's, you know, I think about it and what I've had to experience here and getting this message out. And in talking with a lot of the people in the UFO community and the major conferences and just the extreme resistance and the competition and all the other nonsense going on, one starts to wonder that, you know, we haven't really created a space for contact of higher beings, of beings that might be very spiritually and technologically advanced, benevolent beings. We will either worship them or we'll fire on them and try to steal their technology. We haven't risen in consciousness or created a space for them to come, which is what we're doing here at the ESETI and why we're so successful. But unfortunately, that success also breeds a lot of jealousy and a lot of separation and againstness. And it's very sad when we've had an open-door policy and we share all of our information and even the footage. We've shared it every time. You know, somebody wants to do a documentary, we go, here it is. We don't even charge. We give them all the evidence. And, you know, despite that fact, these other groups are very adamant about making sure that this information doesn't get out. And basically it doesn't matter because it's going to get out one way or the other. It's already getting out and it's like the Aikido move. We just move around them like water. We don't go up against them. Looks like we have a caller. Welcome to As You Wish.
James?
Yes.
Oh, hey, it's Patrick out in the field.
Oh, good. You're on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've been on for a bit. I didn't want to interrupt you, though.
Yeah. Great. Who we got out there in the field? Do we have anybody that was here last night that got to see a lot of the ships and things?
I think we do. Yeah, I could track them down. They're around here somewhere. And let me see. Yeah, there's a bunch of people hanging out by the fire. Let me find, is that one couple that was here last night? When,
yeah, they would
like
be great.
20 ships coming by. Let me see. Oh, hey, you guys want to talk to James for a minute? Okay, we got one of those guys from last night.
Oh, great.
Okay, hold on a sec. This is Tommy.
Hey, James.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, I wanted to see if we could get you there. You're on the air right now with As You Wish Talk Radio.
Oh, all right.
And I was wondering if you could give us a little overview of some of the things that you experienced here and how what it meant to you and what it was like to experience the energies here and a lot of the activity.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's almost speechless. It's the greatest place I've ever been. And I mean, there's a lot of things in the sky out there that I saw last night. We stopped counting after about 20. It was great. Lots of pictures of orbs, plasma. The energy is fantastic.
Great. Yeah, it was, I guess you got to see some of the ships. And did you see any of them doing any kind of erratic behavior or doing any of the side-slipping or the wiggling moves?
It seemed like every one of them was moving in a different direction up there. And, yeah, zigzag. It looked like it was going east, and all of a sudden it would just keep, it was heading towards Mount Adams. It was great.
Great. So we've got another happy customer that came up and saw for themselves.
yeah, that's for sure, James.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. Is it your wife that's with you, or?
Dina's here.
Is she handy?
Hang on just one second.
Okay. We always like to get the feminine.
Hi, James.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Hey, thanks for coming on the show. We always like to get the feminine aspect here, you know, coming on. And as far as your experience, you want to talk a little bit about what you've experienced here since you've been here and some of the things you've seen and felt?
Yeah, absolutely. Last night was incredible. We saw so many ships, we lost count. And what I felt is that with that high of intelligence, obviously it's a higher intelligence than us humans, and I think that every move that they make is for a purpose and with love and compassion. And there's a lot of them up there, and I've been reading a lot that they're hundreds of them around Earth, and I just think and felt that last night that they're here for a purpose, and every move that they're making is for the betterment of Earth and humanity.
Now, how did it... Now, one thing that a lot of, men usually focus with their eyes and everything, and women more, they see things as well, but they kind of feel the energy as well. Were you experiencing, like, shifts of energy or anything of that nature?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was feeling like a magnetic energy matter within my chest and up the back of my head and out the top of my head, enough to where I felt my spine adjust and a healing. And I get those a lot when I meditate. But it wasn't like last night, because I was looking in the sky and it just transpired within my body. And I just felt relief. I felt this compassion and life, and it was connecting. I think I was connecting. And it was wonderful. Fantastic experience.
Great. Did you get the giddy bliss feelings when they came over?
Yes, I did. And I felt like that is communication. And with the spontaneous healing and my body just feeling good, my emotions feeling good, thinking clearly, and it's wonderful.
Well, great. I'm really glad you had that experience, and I love for the people to really experience these feminine energies, especially these Palladianships when they come in, because you get, they're so uplifting and you get all giddy, and it kind of kind of instates your faith, you might say, that there are higher beings out there and we do have some help, but at the same time, we can't expect them to do everything for us. We have to do our part as well.
Yes, take responsibility, and it's our actions on this earth, yeah. Our responsibility to go forward in a better way than what we're doing. And being kind and compassionate to each other. And I really think that the benevolent beings, the aliens, the ships, that they're helping us with that and recognize that within each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're consistently working with our energies in order to work into a more compassionate society. And I've been experiencing all of this for about a year. And so being here on the ranch, it's just getting that real deep connection that we enjoy so much. And it validates everything for me, and it confirms everything that it's all for strength. And it's all for love, and it's all for us to grow.
Great.
Yeah,
is
I think
there,
that's all I have to say.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I think that was perfect.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And
that's what we love for people to experience, have their own experience up here, feel the energy, and, and then it's real for you. You can take it home and just say, you know what, this is real, and... I always tell people, don't believe what I say or what's going on with me. Come up and have your own experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you did.
Oh, I did. Yes.
Yeah. Is there anybody else there around the campfire that might want to come on the air?
Well, here's Patrick. I'll give him the phone, and he can go by the fire pit and
all right.
Check around. Thank you, James. Thanks.
Oh, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, James.
Hey.
Is there someone else you want to chat with specifically? Or
what's that?
Is there somebody else you wanted to talk to?
Yeah, see if there's anybody else out there that wants to go on the air that might have something to share.
Okay.
Maybe one of our Cherokee friends that are out there, their grandmother or somebody.
Talk about anything?
Okay, here's Carol, James.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, James.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Out here by the fire, chatting with some folks that came down from Seattle and hearing their story, and they're hearing mine and connecting and, again, expanding the family.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So it's all such a lovely vibration, and here where the energies are enhanced and magnified, really becomes an, heart-opening and expansive. So it's really a delight to be here on the ranch and connect.
So, oh, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, is I noticed that you were talking earlier about some energy shifts that you're experiencing and coming in for people. Do you want to clarify any of that? Or
absolutely.
I'd love to hear more.
I'd love to. Yeah. There's, of course, we are in a period where things are shifting quite dramatically on the planetary level as the evolutionary cycle kicks into the progressive phase. And there were... Yeah, during we kind of had a wake-up call during the harmonic convergence in 1987 that kind of kicked us into the awakening phase. And then I started getting information about the shifts that are happening now are as significant as the ones that were happening in 1987. And so the next wave of opening and awakening to anybody that is open to it is getting huge transformative energies coming through. And on the equinox on March 20th, there started a pretty big magnetic download of new magnetic codes that are updating Earth systems and, of course, our systems because we are all connected to that grid. And what was happening is that there was this whole download coming through with these magnetic codes have been going on for a couple of weeks. And then the full moon on Thursday was the time when the magnetic codes had been completed, and then the reboot had to take place in order to install the codes into the system. And as that is happening, there is a real kind of push and shove going on, because we're still in the time where much of the energy of the old patterns of the old system are taking up the space that the new energies need to kick in and to take hold and to be integrated. So there is a lot of this, like I said, kind of pushing and shoving, as there's still a lot of resistance to letting go of these old ways that have become so ingrained in the system and in us, our old emotional patterns that are so, we're so attached to them because they think that they define us, and that as we become challenged to let go of them, there is sort of this fear that comes up of, wow, who am I if I don't have these patterns to identify with? And a lot of old patterns of pain and limitation that we've defined ourselves with. So right now, these new energies are coming through to push those out. So all that stuff is coming up, and a lot of people are going through some pretty major stuff around that transformation of letting go of the old stuff, and to know that this is what's up, and it's happening on a planetary level. And so to be okay with letting it go, even though it feels like you don't know who you're going to be once you don't have those patterns, the new codes coming in that are connecting us to that divine, unlimited source is so much more than who we thought we were. So to be okay with letting it go, letting it move out, so that the new codes that are coming in that do connect us in that to that unlimited possibility. Right. And that's the thing that is our biggest challenge, is to get beyond our mind and its limited programming. And yes, so yes, this is what's so cool about these shifts, is that we are being sort of pushed in the direction of that unlimited consciousness, of that recognition that we are unlimited consciousness, and connecting to source based on that knowledge of who we truly are.
Mm-hmm. Hey, is it clear out there right now, or is it?
No, it's pretty cloudy right now, but there's a few holes here and there.
And I'm getting real strong signals. My whole body's vibrating, so we've got a ship overhead, but you may not be able to
okay,
see it.
Cool. Well, at the moment, it's covered in clouds.
Yeah.
But it's totally possible that we're not alone, as often is the case. So.
I've noticed a lot of a lot of people when this energy comes in, they shift into that projection and blame and defense mode.
Because they look at it on the outside as there must be something causing that is something that it's not them. You know, it couldn't possibly be them causing this discomfort. And so the trick is to let it be a mirror that reflects it back to you so that you can see where the source is. And then you can do your work. You can be in that connected place where you can be letting go and not holding on to that stuff that is truly just keeping you from being who you truly are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like Don Quixote out there, you know, fighting the windmill.
Yeah, that's the
and there's nobody there. There's no enemy, but we're still.
And we are not victims. There is no such thing as victimhood.
Yeah.
And the beauty of when you get to that place where you realize that you are the creator of your universe and the creator of your reality, that. And that's, you know, a pretty big pill for some people to swallow when, you know, they've looked at their lives and they have felt like a victim their whole lives and that all these bad things happen to them and they're victims. But when you get to that place where you realize that you are the creator, then you know that you can change it. And that's extremely empowering when you know, I've created this life where I've been a victim of many negative things, but now that I know that, I can change it and I can start creating positive things and I can transform my life into a very positive, procreative, actively creating the positive. And I think that's the beauty of that realization is that, it's like, oh my God, I did this, but oh my God, I can change it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I've seen over and over again, and we're all acting it out right now, not only individually but collectively, and we're running these victim patterns, and until we step out of that role, and some of it seems almost genetic, and it's definitely cultural.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
To let go of those programs and shift out of that, you know, transcend all cultural and religious boundaries and the victim patterns and everything.
Get
back into that unity consciousness.
Absolutely, and I think that's a big part of these shifts, of these magnetic codes that are coming in are helping to replace those old the old ways of looking at things and the victimhood and all that has been part of mass consciousness and has held this weight, has held this structure in consciousness. And now with these new codes coming in, it's pushing those out and expanding our consciousness and getting beyond those limitations and happening on a planetary level so that it's mankind evolving and consciousness evolving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen there's some people that are, you know, not to be in judgment, but basically it's just observing that I've seen some people that are just they're either so wounded or they're holding on to that pattern so hard.
Yes.
And they're so defensive, and you know what they're framing, how they're having their experience, and how they're framing it, you might say, or experiencing it, is so far outside of what's really going on, and sometimes I just look at it and I go, you know, do you want this experience? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
You really doing everything you can to create this experience? Or do you want to try something different, you know, and if they want to, and they'll go and scream and yell and do everything they can just so they can stay in those victim roles.
Oh, I know.
Sabotage everything.
Yeah, that's where they're comfortable. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty much all they know. And so the thought of anything other than that is really scary. even though it could be totally liberating and beautiful and positive, it's the unknown, because all they've known is these victimhood patterns.
Yeah, I have I had a yoga teacher a long time ago, and she was a wonderful woman, and she was Jewish and studied yoga and taught yoga, and she, wherever she went, I mean, they were persecuted, you know, in Germany. They went to Russia, and they were persecuted there. And then she went to Africa and was teaching school, and the village was overrun there. Everywhere she went, no matter where she went, there was this event that happened where they were persecuted and had to flee and leave.
Right.
And then finally she started thinking about it. She said, you know what? She goes, I'm going to take responsibility for this. I'm creating this reality. What is it in me that's magnetizing me to these places and events and drawing these experiences to me?
Wow.
And then she started really looking at even her genetics and what she's gone through and everything. And she said, I've got to get rid of this cultural stuff and this victim role and
right.
And the separation game that we're playing, that we're special and all
right.
of this stuff. I have to dump all of this and get rid of it.
Wow.
And finally, when she did, everything shifted for her.
Wow.
And opened up, and she was offered, came to the United States and opened up a health food store, and just everything
awesome.
Worked, you know. From,
yeah,
from
well,
on.
That's a very good example of the total turnaround that can happen once you take responsibility for that.
And she said it was so deep and so hard to overcome. And she said, you know, as soon as she started slipping into that old pattern again, she could see the world, you know, revolving around that and starting to manifest that reality.
Yes.
Again, and she'd have to catch herself and go, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not doing the victim thing. And,
right,
and,
right, right.
It was very hard for her. And she was a master teacher, a very powerful woman. And
right, right.
It was very hard for her to overcome that. And it's not an easy task.
No, it isn't. You have to be very diligent because mm-hmm. there is a magnetic aspect of these forms. I know we were talking about earlier that sometimes they take on a very specific form in their magnetic, because they've been reinforced over and over and over again, that they almost take on the form of like an entity interacting in within you with that negative charge that draws that negative experience to it. So in order to offset that and in order to get beyond that, you really have to be diligent. You really have to just keep that positive energy going. And that because that negative energy has a real magnetic pull.
Yeah, they, I like the old Cherokee saying, they said, there's two wolves fighting inside, and one's just pure love and joy and bliss and cooperation, and the other one's greedy and selfish and whatever, and they said they're always fighting inside, and the kid said, grandfather, which one is going to win? And he said, the one that you feed.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. We become that which we are conscious of.
Yeah.
And so if you are conscious of positive and the things that you desire and how you want the world to be, and that's what you focus on, then that's truly what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And the opposite is just as true. And it's all up to us. So
yeah.
And that it's really all on the inside, and we project it out and want somebody else to be responsible for it.
Yeah.
That's kind of the human nature aspect of it. But the ultimate truth is that we are each responsible for our own stuff and owning up to it and then being able to change it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite interesting. It's I've always felt I have like mixed emotions about that because part of me. Well, I think of Jesus, and I go, he's a pretty nice guy, he was
right,
hanging out
right.
down here, and they stoned him and hung him on a cross and,
yeah,
and
right.
beat him and did everything you could imagine to the guy, and I don't think he was a bad person and drew all that to himself, but he did choose to come and have this experience and overcome it.
Right.
So it's kind of an interesting thing, and I think about it, about that whole program and there is things going on here and we can choose to participate in them or not.
Exactly.
And and they it's not saying it doesn't exist or it's not going on, but
Absolutely, yes. I mean, there is a lot of negative patterns being lived out on the planet still, and yet we don't need to put our consciousness there. We don't need to focus on it. We acknowledge that it's there. Like you said, it's part of our framework that we are living in, but we can also know that we each are infinite consciousness and we each have the power to create our own reality, mm-hmm. and that doesn't need to be part of our reality. It's part of the world, it's part of the framework, but it doesn't need to be part of what we focus on.
Oh, definitely. You know, there's two worlds unfolding here, and one world is on a downward spiral. It's collapsing.
Right.
It's the old world.
Right.
You know, the old world of separation and tyranny and greed, and we can see that right now. As they're hitting the height of their program right now with all the bailouts and everything else.
Yes.
Yeah, and then there's a new world coming in that people are stepping away from this system, and they're not participating anymore, and they're seeing how ridiculous it all is. And creating a whole new world where they're living in harmony with each other and the planet and getting closer to nature and getting self-sufficient and sovereign. And
exactly.
And
And it's so clear to those of us who can see it and feel it and know it and are seeing this sort of separation going on, and that the beauty of what's happening is that, yes, these negative agendas that so many people are holding on and trying to assert into our world, that's what is being pushed out, and that's what's being, as it pushes out further, it's being unplugged and losing its power, and the less attention we give it, the quicker it will lose its power, because every time we pay attention to it, then that just gives it life.
Mm-hmm.
And if we cannot pay attention to it, but put that focus into the positive, it's like my inner teachers have been teaching me about not being against anything. Just put that same energy into being for what you want in a positive way. And that's how we can shift this world. It really is in our hands. It's really in our power as we connect to that infinite consciousness and apply that positive energy to shifting into that new paradigm, that we are the ones that are making it happen, and that then this old aspect of power over others and greed and that previous egoic agenda is just being unplugged and spiraling down and not part of Earth's reality for much longer.
Yeah, it's not sustainable, and there's a lot of people just hanging on to this and really trying to make that extra buck or, you know, win it and do it, and they don't really have any scruples, you might say, on how they make that big buck or whatever. And
right.
That whole program is totally unsustainable, and it's collapsing.
Right.
And, you know, there's karmic repercussions on capitalizing
the
man in the earth. So,
yeah, that's one of the reasons why I don't feel that I have to put energy into that scenario, because you get what you get back what you put out.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the universe has that mechanism that applies to all. It's universal law. And
mm-hmm.
so it's going to take care of itself. It's going to collapse in on itself because it's just coming back at them. So it's like they're getting what they've asked for, and it's just their choice. Everybody's entitled to a choice, and their choice is to try and assert a negative agenda, and so it's just coming right back at them and imploding on them. So.
Yeah, it always. You know, the bottom line is we are our own worst enemies, and you know, and the more we put out there, you know, I've seen in the universe and going into the interdimensional mind aspects and greeting these other beings, and how you greet them is going to determine, you know, the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you greet them with a lot of fear and a lot of judgment and a lot of or arrogance or whatever else, that's going to frame that experience. And I've seen over and over again is that we as a collective just don't even have the framework to understand who these beings are, how they operate, what their culture is like. And all we can do is project our reality onto them, which is what, you
right.
know, Hollywood is doing and everything else. And we seem to have that emotional energy hit, you know, and have the...
Yeah.
I talked to one guy, he's a filmmaker, and he says, basically, there's a formula. If you don't stick to it, you don't have a hit.
Mm.
You know, and he said, you know, basically, it's boy meets girl. You know, both are really struggling, you know, boy saves girl or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and boy saves the planet or whatever.
Right,
right. You know, they have to have a victim, and they have to have a savior and a victim and a...
Yes.
Yeah, all these programs in there, and they have to have a threat and, the persecutor and everything. And if they don't stay within that confine, you know, they don't make it. And I've seen
right.
again and again that you know, all these so-called experts in the UFO field are merely just projecting their realities on them and making them warlike or aggressive or greedy, or they come to conquer and take and they're a threat, look out, you know, and they have no clue whatsoever who's on those ships and what their culture is like. And
right,
yeah,
right.
A lot of them are very spiritually and technologically advanced.
Oh, I know, yeah.
They live, you know, universal peace, and they transcended all war and all disease. They're so far beyond our projections.
Right.
But we, you know, we keep projecting our reality onto them. And, you know, you see it in all the newspapers and the books and everything else, and, you know, people describing these different beings and who they are, and you go, wow, that is like, same thing in religion, too, as well, is that, you know, you look at the religious books and you read those, and those people that wrote those books and wrote those chapters or whatever else did the best they could.
Yes,
with
yes,
the reference
exactly,
points that
exactly.
they had. And they explained what they were experiencing, you know, the best they could, but there might have been something much bigger going on, or a much bigger picture, or they might have misinterpreted some realities and projected
sure.
their reality into the experience, or their concepts of what, you know, God is, or what spirit is, or whatever, you know.
Right,
so.
exactly. But because people have been seeking outside themselves, and are going to sort of be attracted to someone who has had even a limited experience with some divine spiritual experience, that there has been that tendency to follow that person because they must have the answer to how to get there. And so there has been, in this sort of, you know, backwards phase of evolution, we have been seeking outside of ourselves. And
yeah.
therefore, that's why the religions got so popular, is because, you know, there's this one that says, I have the answer because this happened to me, and I had this connection, or I had this divine inspiration. And so people have flocked to follow this person, and
mm-hmm.
so have been just going backwards in seeking outside of ourselves. But it truly is happening that we are reorienting towards source and are learning that what we seek is really within ourselves, and that everything, that all the answers are there, all the love is there, like we've talked about in our experiences with divine energies. I mean, the love is so... Oh, you know, there's no words for it, because it's so magnificent, it's so incredible, it's so encompassing, it's so unconditional, it's so bright, beautiful, you know, there just aren't enough words to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all from the connection within and the connection to the divine within. And there is absolutely, totally nothing that in the physical realm or outside of ourselves that comes anywhere near that. So this whole aspect of religion that has taught people to, you know, seek God and follow some dogma or whatever to your penance and to have your sins forgiven is just, you know, it's hogwash, you know, and that the true beauty of the divine love is simply from going within and connecting to that source.
You mean when I die, I won't get 70 virgins? Is that what you're saying? So maybe that was Virginians. I don't know.
Right. Oh, I love it.
I was thinking about that. What would you do with 70 women?
It's most relationships. Yeah, I have enough trouble with one-on-one. Yeah, so.
Yeah. 70. I mean, I would just kill myself.
Just jump off a cliff and just forget it.
That would be...
way too much trouble.
Yeah. Like,
but that shows you how these kind of things have come from this sort of male ego directive that has come up with these ideas of paradise that are anything but truly paradise.
I'd have to buy 70 new cars and 70 insurance policies and 70 medical policies. And
it'd be way too expensive.
Yeah, buy 70 new dresses every
time. Well, then you've got the each have to have their own credit card, you know.
Yeah, it's like insane when you look at it.
I know.
And then, and then you got to sleep with all 70 of them.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that was
it does
like,
become kind of like an absurd joke when you look at some of these things that have been considered ideals.
It lasts about 2 days, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Be done with it and moving on to something else.
The novelty would wear off very quickly. That's the really cool part about connecting to the divine and having those incredible experiences, that you become totally self-contained. And you have everything that you could ever possibly want and need from turning within and getting it from source. And it's just, it's like once you're there and you've got it, you can stop questing. You can stop this seeking because it's all right there. And when you connect with that love, like when I connect with Mother Earth and feel that nurturing and feel that powerful, loving, mothering of that being who is Mother Earth. I mean, it's like, oh my God, it's like what else would you ever possibly want? And then to have it also come from cosmic beings, and to feel that kind of love from beings just in the next dimension that are right with us, our guides and angels. They all just have this incredible love and want nothing more than to love us. That's what they want.
I've seen the total absence. There's that old saying that there's nothing really common about common sense anymore.
Yeah.
That it's gone out the door,
right.
And you get into your heart and you just go, okay, how does this serve? It's just in the highest and best good of all concern. And I love that old Cherokee saying, if it isn't good for everyone, it isn't good.
Yes.
But we've lost the basics and that basic common sense. We've gotten into this me, mine, competition, greed program. And,
right.
And, how do you miss it? I mean, it's so obvious. People know in their heart of hearts what they're doing is not helping others. It's going to cause damage down the road and things like that, especially like this bankster program going on. And they're still going on with it, and they have no, and that's all going to backfire on them.
Well, of course. But the reason they don't recognize it is because they're not in their hearts.
Yeah.
And they're not feeling it. They're not seeing it because they're totally in their heads. They're totally in their ego mind. And so you say, how can they in their heart of hearts? They're not connecting to their heart of hearts.
And they're seeking love, joy, and power, basically. That's what everybody wants. And they're doing it in all the wrong ways. And they don't realize the ultimate power in the universe is love. And you don't, love always empowers, it always serves. But they're over there just trying to take it and control it and doing this crazy program that always ends up, in failure. It always ends up crashing.
Right, exactly. And but until they get to that point where they, surrender the mind and open their hearts, that's what they think, let's try this way. And then, and it does, end up collapsing on them. And some are not going to get it in this lifetime.
And they've actually in a way that that karmic load they put on themselves, they've actually kept themselves from the real, the higher planes and dimensions where the real power and the real love and the joy and the bliss is. And they're going to have to come back and take care of any pain or suffering or whatever they created down here and
Yeah, but
out,
they're probably
so.
Going to have to do it somewhere else.
Yeah, because the Earth will be have moved beyond.
Yeah,
you know, I was meditating. I got a very clear message, and it was interesting what they were saying. And they were talking about whatever you want to call it, creator, or higher force, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
is focusing, you know, on this planet intently. And
mm-hmm.
there is a plan. And they were talking about how they said some will go. You know, they'll lose the body and go, and they'll have to work their stuff out somewhere else.
Right.
And they said some will stay. And actually ascend in the body and
right.
and go along with the Earth and its jump, that it's evolutionary jump that it's going to go on.
Yeah.
And they said some are just going to ascend and just move on and go to a whole other dimension or whatever. But
right.
They
right.
said it's there's as many experiences as there are individuals down here as to what how they're going to experience
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I've gotten the same very clear message in almost exactly the same terms, and
yeah.
that it really is a very individual experience. This is any kind of spiritual connection is a very individual connection, and that these people that are out there predicting, you know, what's going to happen to everybody in this transition are pretty inaccurate.
Yeah.
So. Because it will be a very, very individual based on our level of connection, our thoughts, our desires, our patterns. It's just going to be this energy shift that we will all experience in our own very unique way.
Yeah, I always tell people the best advice I can give you, just make your own personal connection with, you know, creator, spirit, God,
yep.
whatever you want to call it.
Yep. Well, you and I are definitely on that same wavelength. So.
Yeah, and listen to your inner guidance and act on it, you know, with
yes.
loving detachment. Don't hang on to the past
yes.
or the old programs and flow with this energy and you'll be fine. But if you try to hang on to the past and think that change isn't coming and
oh, yeah.
you know, you're going to have an experience and something to shake you out of that old program, whatever,
exactly.
whatever it needs
exactly.
to be.
Exactly, yep. Yep, it's an absolute truth.
Yep, it's going to
yeah.
be an interesting ride.
Yeah, that's what I'm always saying, too. Enjoy the ride.
I always say that I call it the e-ticket. You know, we bought it. You know, we bought the e-ticket, and, you know, we have to take responsibility for that. You know, we chose to come here for this ride. And
right.
And I love what you're saying about fun. You know, do you want to go through that about the sustainability?
Yes. That was when I went to the Finhorn Foundation in Scotland, and we went through a course that talked about that they had studied what makes a successful long-term community, because 90% of communities fail, and so there's only 10% that make it over the long run. And there were several points, and the last one was, if it's not fun, it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
And that is such a, you know, a truth and a very positive message around the power of fun and lightheartedness and laughing and music and dancing and all that kind of stuff is as much a part of sustainability or as part of the glue that keeps a community together. That's every bit as important as growing your own food or having an eco village or green building or whatever. That really the having the idea of having fun is an integral part of life and having it be successful.
Yeah, I think there's food for the body and there's food for the soul and food for the spirit and you got to keep a balance on all of it.
Absolutely. Yes. Right. And that's why, you know, so many of these eco-villages that have started up are not working because they don't have that spiritual common ground,
mm-hmm.
The glue that allows them to transcend their ego agendas. And so they have a good idea as far as earth-friendly and all that. But without that connectivity through a sort of a common ground that transcends those human issues that are bound to come up when you have a group of people together, that's what becomes the, what doesn't allow them to stick together is that balance of listening to spirit and the harmony that comes from that.
Exactly. And it's we're going to have to, rather than trying to create this community, we have to create the inner community first and be our own best friend, our own best lover, and then it'll all come together.
Exactly. And like I said, then that transcends and gives you the resource to deal with the other human nature kind of things that come up in community. So.
Definitely.
And well, that when you all share a goal that transcends anything that is part of that, then you have the tools and the harmony of desire that is common to maintain harmony that becomes number one.
Great. Yeah, unfortunately we're out of time, so I'm going to have to sign off. I can't thank you enough for coming on. And
oh, hey, it was lots of fun. I love this kind of talk.
All right, yeah, we'll have to do some more of it.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, thanks
okay.
so much for coming on the show.
Okay, thank you, James. Good night.
Well, we've run out of time, and so we're going to have to sign off, and I'm going to have to go and join the rest of the people on the Skywatch, and I'm sure, as you heard by the other witnesses here, we're having a blast out here. There are tons of ships flying around. Don't take these agencies' word for it. Go out and have your own experience. Do your own research. They're here. The majority of them are here to help, and let's focus on the more spiritual, benevolent, highly evolved beings to come in, and the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. So focus on the benevolent ones and tell them, come on in. This is James Gilman with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.